bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
State politics is often the most, is often the more boring than federal politics, but...
And slightly less boring than council politics.
Yeah, but certainly the last couple of weeks, it hasn't been boring. Joel Dean joins us. Good morning, Joel. How are you?
Good, thanks, and happy International Bacon Day.
Thank you, Joel. I'm glad you've taken the time to recognise it. I'm honoured and moved by your contribution already. Thank you.
And
I'll have a BLT to mark the occasion.
Yeah, good work.
Fantastic.
Now, don't be too rash.
Joel, you were previous... Oh God.
Sorry about that, Joel. Don't feel you have to use that. You know, professional
now,
writer.
Dolly Doyle, who's actually the husband of the Lady Mayoress, He speaks very highly of you, so I'm going to let Robert introduce you.
Oh, Joel.
Thank you.
In fact, I ran across Joel recently in University Square and we had a chat. It was a pleasure to see him. Joel had a very notable career in state politics as a speechwriter to a number of the very senior people. Steve Brax worked also with Rob Hulls. But since then, of course, he's a noted writer. Most recently, I think, has published a book of poetry and is just a remarkable commentator in Melbourne that we're lucky to have on Joy 94.
Very good morning, Joel. Thank you, Robert.
And that was such a good introduction.
Robert.
Thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you. We've got to go.
now, Joel, what we're interested in, and I think some of the listeners hopefully are, the whole CFA, UFU, Peter Marshall, Jane Garrett,
Daniel Andrews.
You know, let's call it. It's a buffet that's loaded down with shit sandwiches, and someone keeps sending them out from the kitchen.
It's a CFA gate.
Yep, CFA gate. So.
Yes.
I'm interested, you know, I feel for Jane. I think she's in a really difficult place. And, you know, the whole thing, what I really would like to know is why is the Premier so keen on this deal when not just the opposition, but so many other people in the emergency services think this is a bad deal? What is going on? Why? Can you give us a clue?
I couldn't give you a clue as to what the thinking of the Premier's office is, but I suspect that what Daniel was wanting to do was really get it done and dusted and get it done before the fire season begins and put it behind him. But as time has shown us, it's not going away. If anything, it's getting worse. The attempts to really, you know, solve one crisis is creating a political crisis for the government. So.
Look, we saw, Robert, I'll let you chime in a sec. We saw with the paramedics that the government, you know, the paramedics ran a fantastic campaign. The previous state opposition ran the most appalling acts of bastardry against the paramedics. The paramedics ran a very good public campaign. The government, when they were elected, said, right, you know, we're going to do this. We'll do let the work value case happen. All settled, all done. The UFU, some of the things they're asking for, I think, are a little bit rich, but why is this so important? The CFA is a functioning organisation. It's not like it needed to be fixed. Why do the UFU and why does the Premier want the UFU to have influence, if not power, over the CFA? I don't understand it.
To be honest, I could not answer that question. I think that there would be a very strong argument that, given that in other states, both the volunteer and professional organisations are run together in unison, there is from a management point of view and from an organisational point of view, there is an argument that having them work more closely together and is good. And we do know that. You know, there is some animosity, sort of an almost competition between the organisations. The other thing is that there is, with Melbourne growing, there is a small number of areas within the sort of the peri-urban area of Melbourne where you have both professional and volunteer firefighters working, and this is about trying to get them on the same page. You know, that's the thinking behind it. I mean, as always with politics, you know, execution is the killer here, and this has, for a lot of reasons, you know, it's really gone out of control, and it's gone out of control in a way that I think was beyond people's expectation.
Joel, it's Robert here. I mean, I don't want to comment on the sort of the policy elements. I mean, there were recommendations after the Black Saturday fires, and that saw the creation of Craig Lapsley as the Emergency Services Commissioner. Yeah. Peter Rao came across from the CFA to be first Deputy Fire Chief and then Fire Chief of the MFB. You know, the whole impetus was to try to bring the operational effectiveness of those two organisations together. Put all that aside, what I don't get in this, and I don't pretend to understand the union politics or whatever else is behind it, in my dealings with the Premier, I've always found him to be a considered, measured sort of guy. You know, he works his way through issues to outcomes and you know, does so in a way that brings people with him. But on this one, he seems to have lost his political compass. This has been like a tar baby. You know, every time there's an intervention at government level, it just exacerbates, in particular, the people problems that are around it. And that's what I don't get. Put aside the fact that this is, you know, Firegate or whatever else, but it is about, you know, a Premier who is a measured and sophisticated political operator losing that political compass. And that's what I don't get.
Yeah, I think you've got a really good point, Robert. The question here is, you know, I suspect there's more to this story than we understand. I suspect some of it is about the internal workings of the cabinet. I'm not sure what's happened with Jane Garrett. I've worked with Jane. Jane's a really good, smart operator. So too is the Premier. So, you know, here we have a situation where, to put it, we're talking about kids before, or you were talking about kids before, good people making bad choices. You know what I mean? This is, you know, I'm at a loss as to why this has gone out of control. And the good thing for the government is that they've got time to correct this. I mean, it's all over the front page of the Age today. It's affecting the Premier's personal standing. That's obviously going to happen. But, you know, so they've got to get back on track. They've got to fix this situation, and they've got to and put it behind them. And the truth is, there's so many things that are going to happen out of the Supreme Court, you know, sort of action in particular. So more will come out of this. We're not finished.
It's hard to put it behind you when there are sort of bodies in the streets. You know, whether that's the board of the CFA or Lucinda Nolan or, you know, Buffoni or maybe even Peter Rao. It's very difficult when there's still, you know, blood flowing, and there still is.
It's going to stretch. I mean, the thing which is ironic is obviously the government wanted to get this done and dusted before the fire season. There is a very real likelihood that this will be an issue, a live issue, throughout the entirety of the fire season, well into next year. And so once you get into next year, people start talking and thinking about elections. So, you know, it's too early to say what this means for the government, but, you know, it is a live issue, and it's a danger for the government. That's the truth.
Joel Dean is our guest. He's a writer, commentator, and author. Joel, it's Pete here. I'm curious, you've mentioned the next election. Is there the potential for this to undo what has been, to date, a highly effective government in Victoria? When you see that Matthew Guy's leading opinion polls this morning there, that causes some concern. Firstly, is the honeymoon over for Daniel Andrews? And secondly, this government has come to power, and they have been quite steadfast in delivering what they promised to deliver prior to the election. Is this potentially the issue that could unseat and create another one-term government in Victoria?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you mentioned, you know, is the honeymoon over? I mean, I think the question increasingly for me is there such a thing as a honeymoon anymore? You know, we're seeing so many first-term governments lose or get pushed right to the wire. And I think, you know, the Andrews government has been doing terrific work. I've been really impressed by I've met the caucus, I've spent time with the caucus, they're a good bunch. I've been really impressed by the caucus and the Premier. And this, you know, so this issue, any one issue can kill a government.
These are the worst, though, aren't they, Joel? These are the worst.
Oh,
when it's statewide, you're dealing with volunteers, people who are deeply embedded in communities, and you piss them off, and it can
language.
Be the one thing. I'm sorry, you anger them. You arouse their ire.
I want to jump onto that because the all of the talk before the federal election was that this CFA situation would cause great ruction and would cause Labor untold trouble in regional Victorian seats. It didn't. At the federal election. So there is that question on
well,
whether...
Well, yes and no. I mean, you don't know.
Well, they
I mean,
didn't lose ground.
Well, the Labor Party would have hoped to pick up Corangamite, and on the swing across the rest of the country, they probably should have. On the other hand, the seat of McEwen, which has changed a little since Black Saturday, but that was the heart of the bushfire season, and it firmed for a candidate who seems a nice enough bloke, but he's not going to set the Yarra on fire, that's for sure. So it's difficult to tell what
the
effect
is. Enough chemicals in it.
That's absolutely not right. How dare you?
I need to separate these two, Joel. There's one question I did want to ask before we let you go. Is to give us a bit of an idea. I know you're an author and a writer and a speechwriter, but tell me about your poetry.
Oh, well, it's the first literature. It's what I've always written, and usually I write poetry when I've had a trauma. And about 4 years ago, I had a stroke, and really had to learn how to write again, among many other things. And so this collection of poetry, it's not, I had a stroke, I got better, but it's a response to that loss of language and coming back into language in the world. And, you know, poetry is what I read most. It's what I think in most. And to be honest, it informs my speech writing. My poetry has made me a speechwriter, and without it, I wouldn't be a speechwriter.
Perhaps that's why our politicians sound so eloquent. Joel, we're grateful for your time this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, love to have you back again.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.